you are in the midst. That you are in the midst of your people, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you have never left us, even for a moment, without covering, without your presence. For you are the one who is faithful through and through. That even when we are faithless, even when our hearts believe it not, Lord, you are faithful. You are faithful. For you know what you purchased. You know what you delivered. You know what you bought back from hell, from under the sentence of condemnation. And you know the seed that you have sown in the people that you have redeemed. And you know the work that is bringing them into the experience of that which is true. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence to enforce the triumph of Christ in the midst of your sons and daughters, that all may see the angelic host will learn the wisdom that is of God, by God, through his Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that we can rejoice in that which is true. And we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit to do your bidding. And he fails not. And he will bring to pass that which he purposed, that which you purposed, and without fail. Thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I tell you, God is very, very good. God is very, very good. Now, I want you to pay utmost attention to what we are going to share today. I want you to pay rapt attention. I need you to put away anything that will cause a distraction. You need to hear everything properly. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. So today, we're going to talk about the blessings of a basenta. Pay utmost attention. The blessings of a basenta. That is the heading for today. The blessings of Basenta. Now, I want you to pay utmost attention because the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you powerfully. Yeah. Now, a Basenta is basically a smaller part of the bigger church group that comes together as a fellowship or a cell group, department, or a branch for the sake of high quality care and church growth and establishment. Hallelujah. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Yeah. Let me say it again one more time. A church is a smaller part of the bigger church group that comes together as a fellowship or a cell group, a department or a branch for the sake of high quality care and church growth or church establishment. I'm going to read a scripture to you in Numbers. In Numbers from chapter 11, verse 16 to 17.
One moment. In Numbers. Wonderful. Wonderful. Beautiful.
Okay. So Numbers chapter 11, 16. Numbers chapter 11, 16 to 17. Pay attention as I read this powerful thing, please. The Lord has a particular message for you today. And I need you to pay rapt attention that you listen to this. Numbers chapter 11 from verse 16 to 17. Bible says that, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take off the spirit which is upon thee. I will take off the spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee. Everybody say, bear the burden of the people.
Bear the burden of the people.
Very good. So God told Moses to gather 70 men who are leaders or elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them in onto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they are to stand there with Moses. And he, the Lord, he will come down and talk with them, with Moses there in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of those 70. And he will take off the spirit which was upon Moses, and he will put it upon the other 70 that were gathered with him, and they will bear the burden of the people. Bear the burden of the people, sharing the burden of the people with Moses, that you bear it not yourself alone. Now I'm going to read a little bit further down in verse 24. When you read that scripture, in verse 24, it says, and Moses went out. Now, we have gone from verse 16 to 17. Now we are on to verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto them, and took of the spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. When the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Verse 26, it says, there remained two of the men in the camp. There remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the spirit rested upon them. Pay attention now. And the spirit rested upon them. It didn't lift. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad, very interesting names. Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of the young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them, tell them to stop what they are doing, such arrogancy, or whatever it is. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Are you envious of them for my sake? Enviest thou for my sake? Are you envious of them? Do you think I take the spirit and I put upon people as I desire? Oh God. Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the lost people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Yes. I wish that God has made all the people of Israel, all his sons and daughters, he has made them all prophesy, all prophets. And that the spirit of God is upon them. Wow. Look at the man, the heart of the man. Are you with me?
Yes.
Look at the one that God takes off from him and puts upon the others. Look at what he's doing. Look at what he's saying. He said, are you envious for me? Are you envious of them for my sake? There's no basis for that. you think I'm doing this because I am some wild guy who God has called and made me so different? No, 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 no. He's onto something. He had to start off with somebody. And he started off with me. And what he wants to bring forth, he knows that I can't do it by myself. That's why he has taken off me. And by the way, the spirit that he took off me, he put it upon me. And he is taking the same spirit and putting it upon these other people. Wow. Now, why am I sharing this with you? I want you to pay rapt attention because you're going to hear direct instructions from the Lord in what he's about to do. Now, it's not just the church. It's not just in Lighthouse. It's far, far, far bigger. It's far, far bigger. Now, you would notice that no matter how greatly, pay attention, please. He's in our midst, and he wants you to listen. You will notice that no matter how greatly God manifested his love and power to the people, performing great miracles in their midst and bringing such fear upon the kings of their enemies, the heart of the people, the heart of his own people that he set aside for himself, kept going back and forth, kept going back and forth. Today we believe in God. God is with us. There's no God like our God. Tomorrow there are seven other gods. Back and forth. Right from day one, all the way down to Zephaniah, all the way down. I tell you, it never stopped. It never stopped. Back and forth. This king comes. This one serves God. This king comes. He gives himself to do evil and serve other gods and cause many of the sons of God, the children of God, to perish by his choice. He makes a mistake. The curse comes upon all the people. You say, why would even God do that? Well, we don't understand. It's not just you and what you do. No, 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 no. That is why those to whom God has given authority will be judged so much severely. So much severely. So, so, so much severely. Think about it. Moses, all Moses did was, instead of speaking to the rock, he just struck it. That's all he did. That's all he did. And says, pack yourself together. Just pack yourself together. Come back. Come back. Come back. Come back. You're finished. Joshua, the son of Nun, will take over. But Aaron, look at what Aaron did. Look at what Aaron did. Look at what Aaron did. Nothing like what Moses did. Organize the people and allow them to lead them to make a God. As if he had not seen any of the miraculous works of God. As if he has not seen the works of God and marveled in the presence of God and see how powerful and how much there is no God like the God of Israel. As if he has never seen it before. And surprisingly, even the leprosy that came upon Miriam didn't come upon him. You wonder, how does God work? How does he operate? You see, that's why we should be very careful to extrapolate our thinking unto God. That is how he is and that we know him. No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No. It's as if he was fully spared. It's like, I know what you did, but not be anything. Hey. But Moses, all Moses did was, instead of just speaking, I mean, what evil can you see in this? But God says, pack yourself. You are finished. Your work is done. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
So don't think that you know God. That is why you must allow him to be Lord. You must allow him to be Lord. I mean, this morning as I was just, just occurred to me. Imagine you've made a trip. And then, you just think about it. You've made a trip. You've gone somewhere. And then somebody comes to your house. Somebody comes to your house, meets with your son, and is able to talk with your son and convince your son to enter into a deal, promising him that there's going to be a fall of, not a fall, but a wind fall of $800,000 by a deal, and he goes along, makes the deal. And when you come back, you realize that the house that you call your home, something has happened, and now foreigners are coming inside. I mean, outsiders are coming inside, and they are making claim and taking hold of everything that you call yours. He said, what happened? What happened? He said, we made a contract. He said, with who? With who? And it's with your son.
Mm-hmm.
It's with your son. Your son, whom you love, whom you have brought to be a partaker of everything that is under your name, to inherit everything so that he has direct access and influence to everything. He has made a deal, and he didn't even talk to you. He didn't even consult you because he thinks that he knows you very well, and he knows that you'll be very happy with him making $800,000 on a deal, out of a deal. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And he didn't consult you with you. You'll be so mad. Now, and this is, listen. So you think about it. The profound demonstration of God's power, God's love, delivering, coming through. I mean, how can a people who were slaves, literally, under Egypt, under Pharaoh, be liberated without a fight? It's never happened before. It's never happened before. And not just liberated, set free. But as you are going, let's plunder them, as in they take along with them the wealth of the nation. Mm-hmm. It's never happened before. Even in America, for slavery, you know, as it was, to end, there had to be a fight that over 700 people, I believe, died. And it wasn't only the people, the slaves who were fighting for. It wasn't just the slaves who died. No. It wasn't just, the slaves were the ones who died. No. The owners also died. I tell you, it was a wild thing. But only God can bring about such a thing. Because I mean, I'm the slave. Why are these people who are not slaves even taking up a fight? Are you with me?
Yeah.
And willing to die. It doesn't make sense. But I want you to see that God moved upon them, delivered them, planted Egypt, performed great miracles, but still their heart was never ever given fully to God. It kept going back and forth. Now, the profound lesson here is that you cannot do anything to a human being to change him or her. You can't. There is no amount of love you can show a human being that will cause the human being to change in its essential nature, because the issue is the nature issue. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a nature issue. And God knew that even though he was performing all these great miracles and deliverance, bringing them into such goodness, into homes that they are not going to build and all that, drive enemies from their face without a fight, move around just a powerful, formidable city, just move around singing, declaring, and the walls fall down and the people are made, what do you call it? They are planted, literally. They are just made mincemeat by you just moving around singing. I mean, look, it doesn't happen anywhere. Are you with me? Yeah. But still, they will never give themselves to put their trust in God. And therefore, I want you to understand that because it's a nature issue, God knew that none of what he was doing will turn your heart around. He knew it. But he knew the only thing that will change man forever, that will turn the very nature of man. He knew it. He gave them the law, but he knew that the law would not accomplish that thing. The law was good. It was pure. Paul wrote, it was holy. It's good from God. But it could not accomplish. And God knew it. It is, and it was, and it shall forever be the new birth. Only the new birth wrought by Jesus Christ that changes everything. You know, the Bible talks about the goodness of God that leads unto repentance. Some of you have heard that before. You know, let me just read a scripture to you. It's Romans 2. Let me just read it to you. Romans 2, verse 4. It says, "Or despiseth thou the riches of his goodness?" Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance? To forbear. To forbear is to be assaulted, to be insulted, to be disrespected, to be taken for granted, for all your goodness to be despised. It says, "Or despised thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering?" Do you despise all this, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Don't you know that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? Now, until just recently, I would read the scripture and I would think that it's only goodness that will turn a person's heart around. I didn't understand that repentance itself, I don't know why I didn't break down repentance, because I knew what repentance meant, but I never brought it to bear on the scripture and get the proper meaning. It's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance. Now, what does it exactly mean? Oh, I will let them see good so that they will repent. No. It is only those who are born again who can repent. Does that make sense? You say, what do you mean? What do you mean? You don't repent to become born again. You don't repent to become born again. No. Repentance only belongs to those who are already born again. Let me just explain something to you quickly, please. It's very important. You know, this dropped into my spirit this morning. It just says, a person who is not born again cannot repent or turn around and embrace that which is of God, or allow Jesus to be Lord in any situation. A person who is not born again will gladly receive that which is the goodness of God. So a healing, he will receive it. But because he's not born again, he will return right back to being the Lord and the God of himself. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the person will receive the goodness, but he will turn back right to being the God of himself, so that he receives the goodness. Anything happens, you will see him. He is the Lord. He is the God of himself. Now, because the repentance is to turn around and embrace that which is of God, or allow Jesus to be the Lord in any situation. Because to be born again, how do you get born again? You believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, right?
Yes.
You believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, meaning that he has brought forth, in the raising of the dead, he has brought forth a new creature with a new nature. Does that make sense?
Yes.
A new creature with a new nature. You can only see this when you see a dog who is no longer barking, but now he is maybe making the cry of a cat, like meow. You will say, what? Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You see that? No. The spirit of a cat has entered my dog. Its nature is changed. Is no longer operating. He is in the body of a dog still, but his nature, his essential nature, now is that of a cat, and then you find out that it has even stopped eating dog food. It's eating cat food now. Immediately, you say, aha, something has happened. This is what has happened in the new birth. Where, yes, we still have the body, same height, the same size, whatever, color, whatever, accent, whatever. But the nature, the essential nature, which was dominated by sin and separated us from God, that nature has been brought to an end. And in the resurrection, that's why you must believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, meaning that God, by raising up Jesus from the dead, he has brought to an end the nature which all of us were, and has brought forth a new nature. This new nature is not the nature that all of us received from Adam. It's the nature that we have now received from the Son, and is the life in the very nature of God himself. We are made partakers of his divine nature. Does that make sense? So you believe with your heart that this is what has happened, and then you confess with your mouth. You don't confess your sins to become born again. You confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You don't confess your sins to become born again. No. You confess your sins only after you are born again and you carry out an act of sin. Then you confess your sin. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Please understand it. Understand what I'm sharing with you. So you believe with your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So whatever curse, whatever sentence of death, whatever condemnation that was upon me, not because of what I did, but because of the seed that was sown in me by being a human being, it has been brought to an end, and in the resurrection. That's why God raised the Son. God has given birth to a new nature, a new being. And that nature is now my nature. I believe with my heart. And now I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. What does that mean? 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 You confess with your mouth the lordship of this one who was raised from the dead. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is my Lord. So what I think, I submit to him who is my Lord. What I want to say, I submit to him who is my Lord. How do I think? Always based on... That is why you want your son to think based on what you have instructed him. Why? So long as he's in your house, you are the Lord. That's what you want. That's why you want your daughter to receive from you. And anything and any entity and anybody that comes between you and your child must fight a very fiery fight. That way, are you the one who feed him? I gave him for you to just teach him science and accounting and basic foolish principles that he will need in this life. But his sustenance is from me. How dare you want to take that from me? You have engaged a battle that you will never win. You will never win. Anyway. So when you say that he is the Lord, now you become careful of what you think, of what you call truth, because it's the truth. You become careful, because before we all got born again, we knew what was truth. We knew what was truth. We gave ourselves what we thought was truth, only to discover that this life is very frustrating. True or false?
True.
It's very disappointing, Full of heartbreaks.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had his own scheme and plan and how to prosper. I will come to America. I will work this number of years. I will have this X amount of money. I will go back to my country. I will be a big rich man. I will be able to own homes and do this and do this. Well, I don't know if that's what you have done. I had a plan. It has been made nonsense. It was made nonsense the first 2 years that I came into this country. It was made nonsense. It was made nonsense. I tell you, a lot of things that I had in mind, they have all been made nonsense. Now, but as a born again child, you daily repent from you being your own Lord and God to allow the life of Christ to come forth in every situation. This is what it means. This is what it means, that you're not only born again, but you not only know that you have a new nature, but you also allow this new nature, this Lord, to be the Lord. You just allow him. That's what it means. And nobody has a different way of doing it. Every challenge, every day, every confrontation, you either have to choose to let him be the Lord or you will be your God. Satan never comes to say that, I want to be your God. No, he wants to make you your God. That's all his assignment is. That's why he puts every burden on you to do, to become. When the truth is what Jesus has done to make you. There is nothing in creation that does something to become anything. Your child never did anything to become a boy. Neither did he do anything to become a girl. He doesn't do anything to be given attention. He doesn't do anything to be wiped as a baby, to be cleansed. He doesn't do anything to be bought a very nice baby crib. Nothing. He's born. He finds out that he is. He sees what daddy does, what mommy does. He says, I am it. I do the same. He sees everybody talking. He wants to talk. He sees everybody walking. He says, why am I lying down? I must walk. He found that he can't walk. So he found out that he can move. He can move his hand. He can move his head. He can move something. He can move something. Everybody's moving. And so he does that. And then he found that, oh, now I can turn. So he starts turning. He finds that, I can walk. I can crawl. He crawls. He found that he can hang onto something and stand. He can't take any step, but no problem. He finds that, oh, now I can take a step as I hold onto something. So he begins to do all these things. And then one day comes, he starts finds that, oh, he can walk. Now, surprisingly, he doesn't even walk. He runs. It's like all the months that he couldn't walk.
Make enough.
Now that he can walk, he must recoup. But he's always running. You wonder, nobody in the house runs, but he's always running around. True or false?
True.
It's like, I've been cheated for too many months.
Enough for the lost time.
I'm recouping. So you have to now tame this boy. You have to tame him. Hey, don't do this. Don't climb this. It's like, and I don't know even why they climb, because nobody's climbing, but he's climbing because it's not enough to walk, because it's funny that, hey, it's so liberating to walk. Why are they not running? Why are they not climbing? They can't even understand why you are so boring. That's what angels are so bored in our behavior, that we carry Christ, we carry God, but we talk, we think, we still crawl, we still poop upon ourselves. We don't see why we stop pooping on ourselves. We don't see why. And they are so amazed at our behavior. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They are so amazed. They are so amazed. Now, you please pay attention. So now you know that it is only the person who has embraced, received the new birth, and receive the Son, the risen King, as Lord, who now can repent. They now can turn around and say, I will let Jesus be God. I will let him be the Lord. My life is no longer my own. I give it to him who is my Lord. Oh, I don't know what my next step is going to be, but I know him who is my Lord. He's not struggling with what to do. He knows exactly what to do. How are you going to be redeemed from this terrible situation? Oh, I don't know. So why are you not disturbed for not knowing? Oh, my Lord is not like me. My Lord is not limited like I am limited in my vision, in my ability to see and to hear. No. And he has not left me. He is with me to lead me into his goodness. And now the goodness of God now leads you to what? Is it the wickedness of God that will cause you to daily allow him to be the Lord? Is it leading you into destructive things that will cause you to change your heart? No. Now that you have received his nature, now he demonstrates his goodness to do what? To cause you to now effortlessly, daily, wanting to let him take over, take charge. It's like you are abused. If it was those days, oh my God, oh my God, they will see who you have always been, how you have waged wars and battles from where you were born, how you were abused, and how you have fought battles to land where you are, to even get the guy you have married and have the children you have had and all that. They are going to take you for granted. Hey, you will display. But now, you have a new nature. So it seems as though they can just walk over you. They don't know that you are bowing and yielding to the one whom you call Lord. And he never fails in coming through. He just waits to be let in. And when he's let in, Anyway, so now, please pay attention. Now, is God angry with any one of us? Is God angry with any one of us? I want to say to you, the heart of God. No, he's not. He's not. He is not. Now, he said, why is he not angry with us? First off, he doesn't even have many people who have heard what you have heard. You say, what has what I've heard got to do with anything? Because what he's about to do is to bring a revelation, a great revelation of the reality. A great revelation of the reality of what you have been hearing. Let me say it again. I want you to see the difference between the two people, the people that Moses had to lead and the people that Jesus is now leading and going to keep leading. There's a big difference. How many of you can already see the difference? For those that Moses led, for those that we read about all through Malachi into the Gospels before Jesus died, all the people, everybody, there is not one of them who had the nature of God. Everybody had the nature of Adam, which was the nature of the devil, children of wrath, seeds of rebellion. So rebellion was our nature. It is not something that we did to become rebellious. We were not cursed because of something that you did or your father did or your father's did. No, your father just lived his nature. Your mother just lived her nature. Your grandparents lived their nature. Right down from Adam, right all of them, everybody lived his nature. You just live your nature. The nature that we all receive from Adam, the cursed nature, the nature that is ruled by the nature called sin, the life that is ruled by the nature called sin. It ruled all of us unto death. What is death? Separation from the life of God. So it doesn't matter what God does. It doesn't matter what power he displays. It doesn't matter how he will cause a great miracle to bring salvation. Well, in the next moment, because you are cut off and separated from the life, you still do what your nature dictates. That is why when Jesus came, he says, except a man be born again. Except a man be born again. He cannot see, neither can he enter. So it didn't matter what power God demonstrated in bringing deliverance to the people. They were still the people. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he knew it. Because he knew that there was a day coming, a day that had already been prophesied long before Jesus came on the scene, that this is the way I am going to once and forever change humanity. That's the good news. And I want to tell you something. He's about to bring a revelation of the reality of what you have been hearing. It is going to be so powerful that you will no longer toggle between two opinions. You will come out of yourself and be so transformed that everyone around you will notice it. Oh my God. Everyone around you will notice it. And this is not just so that you become happy or to spite those who have not chosen the way of the Lord in their lives. No. It's not to spite them. It's not to show them what it means to serve God and be blessed. No. It's not like that. You know, let me just read something to you that he showed me. No, look at Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. To 50. How many of you know that Joshua carried God's anointing and his presence? Very good. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15, please pay attention. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him, or on the opposite side. He lifted up his eyes when he was at Jericho, and he looked, and he saw there was a man standing on the opposite side with his sword drawn in his hand. Are you listening?
Yes.
And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, are you for us, or you are for our adversaries? This is how we all think. This is how we all think. We are always toggling between two opinions. You are either called of God or you're called of the devil. You are either a child of God or a child of the devil. You either believe in God or you don't believe in God. What you don't know is that most of the time, a people that you wonder if they've been born again, it's a struggle. They do this. They're always doing this. It's not because they don't believe in God, but because the evidence of the things that bring fear is so much in their face that you can't help becoming self-centered. You can't help becoming just so conscious of only you and what you must do to help yourself, and how everybody's against you, and how they don't like you, and how they have left you to yourself, and how you are being neglected, and how nobody wants to even pay. Listen to me. It is an onslaught. It makes people who are even born again keep toggling. Keep toggling. Am I even born again? Is God with me? Has he even loved me? What have I done that he's not with me? Why am I not being blessed? All these are lies sent from the pit of hell purposefully to destabilize you, because he knows that the Bible says that the double-minded people, person never expect to receive from God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not that you're not born again. But the reality of what has happened to you, the reality of being made a partaker of God, the reality of being made a child of God who carry the very life of God inside you, where now you don't live by what you see. You don't live by just what these ears can hear. You don't live by what reasoning power you have, what your education has taught you, that 1 + 1 must be 2. You no longer live by that, because that was our bondage. That is what every one of us, no matter the education, no matter your money, no matter your status, no matter what God does for you, this is what you have been delivered from. This and this, it still cannot communicate to you when something happens. You're God, where are you? But did it not just deliver you last year? What did you do for him to deliver you? Do you know what was sent against you? Do you know that you should have been dead by now? So why are you doubting now? Wondering if it's going to be well with you. Wondering if your expectations will even come to pass. Wondering if it's going to be well with you and your household and your family. You're wondering. Even though your life is replete with the hand of God moving through, delivering, establishing, securing, bringing help that no human being can accomplish, but God himself, delivering you from devices and schemes sent from hell. Still, just tell the people. Tell the people. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. So he says, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, nay. Oh, no. I'm neither for you nor or for your adversaries. That's what no means. I mean, if you say, "Are you for me or for my adversaries?" Then he says, nay. He says, no. It's like, no to this, no to that. He said, what? But how many of you know that he came to bring help? Because look at what he says. Mm-hmm. Look at what he says. And Joshua, he says, and he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? As captain of the host of the Lord, am I come now? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. Meaning that the place that you are standing is separated and set apart for God's holy purpose. So take off your feet. You know, as I was reading this, I'm like, oh my God. Do you know? I heard. Do you know that you are set apart for God and his purposes? Do you know? Do you have respect for it? Do you have respect for it? The prostitute has lost respect for what Jesus has done. Doesn't even know it, probably. Has never even heard it. Doesn't even know that he's worth anything, because probably his parents, his siblings, his sold him out. I mean, sold her out. Probably they didn't have any respect, any regard. You know how some of our parents, you know, don't talk well because of all what they have also suffered in their life. And so they also talk anyhow. They just write you off, sentence you to curses and all that. Like you are like your father, so useless. And so you are full of this stuff. And so he found out that nobody, he's not worth anything. One of the most difficult things for a daughter to not see the love of the father. Hey, you are broken to pieces. Nobody can put them together except they encounter Jesus. There's nothing. It's impossible for a daughter to do well when she doesn't experience the love of the father. The love of the father is very essential, of the mother is essential, but there's something that must come from the father. It must bring significance and meaning to everything else. I understand this. Anyway, that was just by the way, but far diving there. Anyway,
Joshua 5.
Yes. So he said, no, but as captain of the lost of the he says, you for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You know, now that is the end of chapter 5. You know, as soon as we enter into, sorry, bear with me for 1 minute. I'm going to speed through something real quick, and then that's the end of chapter 5. As soon as we enter chapter 6 from verse 1, it says that now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city. So we all see that he really came to bring to pass the promise that he made unto Abraham, unto Moses. I mean, all the things that were aforementioned, the promises, he has come to bring the past. But why is that when he shows up? Is it, are you for me or are you against me? Is there any?
Yeah.
You see, that is why I'm telling you that what he's about to do, it is not to make you happy and to say, it's because I have been paying my tithe all these years. I have been serving, I've been seeking God, I have been reading my Bible. You will perish. No. He's not for us, neither is he against us. He's also not for the people outside, neither is he against them. But he is to bring. My God. He's to bring to pass the promise that the son will receive the reward of his sacrifice. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. Why? Because there's going to be, oh my goodness, there's going to be an influx of prostitutes, of gay people, lesbians, of people who are struggling with their sexual identity and even their whole identity and their race and everything. They are going to run all the people, the educated people, highly educated people. There's going to be such a move of God, and only God can do it. There's no man, no church, there's no church organization that would say that it's because of my teachings. No. There's nobody, no human being, no entity, no organization, nothing. But God is about to do it, and their eyes will be open, and they will find out, is this what it is? But as newborn babes, they will step into this amazing realization, they will no longer be deceived. But they'll be so empty. It's like, I see this. What next? What do I do? This is when you come in. Because what you have been hearing are seeds. The Lord is going to impress upon you the reality of what you have been hearing. And they will run to you. And you will share with them the foundation, the basics, the way, the direction. Oh, their heart will be so open. Tell me! They will come to church. They will not want to leave for hours. They will go to a gathering, a bus center. They will hear that this is the way. This is the way it has always been. And nobody will take the glory. Nobody. Because everybody will see black and white that God is doing it. No church, no organization can take the glory, nor honor the boast. Please, hear what I'm telling you very well. Mark it. What's today's date? The 13th of what?
March.
Of March. Mark it. I have told you this. And it shall come to pass and you shall see it. The Lord is not, listen. The Lord is not going to reveal himself because of your faithfulness or diligence. But because of the seeds he has sown in you through the things he has allowed you to hear. These are the seeds. But what he's about to do is not just for you and your family, but for the many sons and daughters, many homosexuals, many young ones who are struggling. And again, I want you to see the difference between the people that Moses and all the prophets had to lead and the new people who are now going to be led by the risen Christ himself. And there's not going to be a man leading them. Is going to be Christ in you, leading his own people, speaking through you. It's no longer going to be you speaking what makes sense to you. It's going to be the King himself. This is why God gave his son, that he may live through us, so that it's not going to be the Adamic nature living through us anymore. It's going to be the son's life, the life of God himself living through the sons and the daughters, manifesting his love and his power. But this time, it will lead to repentance because the hearts have already been touched. Put your hands together for the Lord. Yeah. So look at something. I don't have much time left. I have only probably about 15 minutes. I'll finish quickly. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the Bible says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of how God has made a people who were not godly, who were not carriers of God's nature. Great is the mystery of what God had to accomplish by his own might and power to make humanity to become godly. It says without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery? God was manifest in the flesh. God, himself had to become flesh. Then surprisingly, the next phrase says, justified in the spirit. Justified in the spirit. When you read the King James, the word spirit starts with a capital S. But when you read the YLT, which is Young's literal Bible translation, it says, it puts it as S, small S. Justified in the spirit. What does it mean to be justified? To be justified means to be made righteous. Wait. If God was manifested in the flesh, is God not righteous already? Is there anybody more righteous than God?
No.
So why does he have to be declared righteous? Why does he have to be made righteous? How many of you can see it? God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. Why did he need justification?
Because of us.
Because he was made sin. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So now, if God, the Son of Man, not the Son of God, and please remember those two, it's very important. Son of God has always been God, is always God, can never be made sin, but the Son of Man, that's why he said that a body has thou prepared me, a body has thou prepared me. I come to do thy will. I come to do thy will. So when God manifested himself in the flesh, he was made sin. He died. He went to hell. And whilst in hell, he now had to be made righteous again. Does that make sense? That's why he's the first to be born again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So justified in the spirit. Then it says, seen of angels. Angels beheld him for the first time. God in man. Preached unto the Gentiles, or proclaimed. His work was not proclaimed unto a people who were not a people. Oh, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up unto glory, the mystery of God. What God did to make man become godly. Not what you must do to become godly. Oh, that's the word of the devil. What you must do to partake of God's nature. What did your son do to become a boy? What did your daughter do to become a girl? What did he do to have the right and access to the fridge, to the money, to the tuition that is covered, to the car that he drives, to everything? What did he or she do to enter into it? Because you were born, came out of your loins, he enters. As many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege to become sons of God. Sons of God. So you enter into the inheritance of the Son, as though you were the Son himself. And now the Son is now going to live his life through you. And you will not struggle, toggling between opinions, wondering. Oh! Wow! Wow! Believed on in the world, received up into glory. And so now he sits down. He knows what he has done. Nobody can undo it. He knows what he has made you. Nobody can undo it. And now he's going to make it become so real to you that you don't toggle between opinions anymore. You don't believe today and tomorrow you are struggling. You know, it is well with me today and tomorrow by yourself. They don't like me. They hate me. Look, nobody likes me. Hey, mama. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to pray. I'm going to do this so that God will bless me. Oh, you see, I should give more time. You see, I should give more. Sons don't. There's nobody who serves to become a son. There's nobody. There is no servant in the house who serves to become a son. Have you seen that before?
No.
You are a son, born a son, or you are a servant hired. And your faithfulness will produce the blessings. But if you are a son, it's not what you do. That's why the prodigal son was received back into the home as if he never went away and spent his wealth on riotous living. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Oh, the sons are going to see that they are truly sons of God, made sons by God, by the obedience and the sacrifice of one, Jesus Christ, the one who qualifies to be our Lord. Are you being blessed by God's word today?
Yeah.
That is why you're going to be a leader. That's why you're called to be a leader, because a lot have been deposited inside you. I know you don't even see yourself at that realm. I know, but you're about to discover it's there. There are seeds that have been sown. The enemy has tried to make it nonsense, to make it non-significant, and look at your life and look at it. And what is all this? What is all this? Let me just read a scripture to you, and then I'll read a small thing to you, and then we close. Hebrews. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come. The law having a shadow of good things to come. How many of you know that a shadow of anything is not a real thing? How many of you know that? How many of you want the real thing instead of the shadow? So the law is a shadow of good things to come,
mm-hmm.
and not the very image of the things. And it says that it can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Meaning there is no instruction, there is no commandment, there is no burden that is put on you to do something that when you do it, it will make you perfect, or it will bring you into such completion that now God can do this with you. No. There is nothing like that. It does not exist. It says, verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, meaning that the sacrifices would have been stopped. Because if the sacrifices could bring you into the place where now God is able to do everything he wants to accomplish with you with ease, then next year there should not be any sacrifice again, because you are changed, right?
Yep.
And God is moving effortlessly, doing the thing that he wants to bring to pass without you being a standing block and preventing him from coming because of your unbelief and all that. But none of them was able to accomplish that. He says, for then will they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more consciousness of sins. The worshippers, once purged, would have no longer have the consciousness of sin, but every day, every year, they come, they know that, we are bringing the sheep, we are bringing this, but we know that when we go back, we will do the same thing again. So next year we'll come back again with sheep. So you also, we give you instructions. If you do this, then God will bless you. If you do this, then this. If you do this. And so you do them, and you find that, why am I still struggling? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Because no pressure, no burden put on any man will cause him to bring to the place where now your conscience is devoid of guilt, of shame. Can I, if I pray, will God manifest? Do you think he will really listen to me when I pray? Do you think he will really bring a presence and a performance if I intervene? No. Let me look for those who are more called. Let me look for those who are more anointed. That's how we all are. That's how we all behave. That's what we do. Don't we pay our tithe? Yes, we do. Don't we read the Bible? Yes, we do. Don't we do this? Yes, because you have been told that if you do those things, then. But what you have not come to see is that when you read the word, you are looking for what Jesus has done already. And you are praying that the Holy Spirit will impress the reality of that into your heart, that your conscience will be purged of that. This is what God is going to do. So it says, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance. This is not Old Testament, this is Hebrews. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins, of what is wrong with you, of how you don't measure up, of how this and that, all the time. For it is not possible that any of these things, wherefore, when he, the Son, cometh, he saith a body hast thou prepared me. I come to do thy will. That is why he had to come. He had to be made sin. He had to die. He had to taste and experience death for all humanity and liberate us from the bondage so that now our conscience will be free from the knowledge of what is wrong. Am I worthy? The shame, the guilt, my past, what I have done. Oh, I didn't pray. Oh, I don't fast. Oh, I don't do the things that all these mighty people are doing. I don't. So let me go to them. They're the ones who all these things are about to be washed away, because those who are now about to enter in, they will not be told. They will not be taught. And they will not be it is not going to be what you must do. You are going to be told what Jesus has done. That is why when Paul came on the scene, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the good news concerning the Christ. I'm not ashamed. I don't draw back. I cannot. He says, I'm coming to you, but I don't want to know anything about you. I don't care how your past has been. I don't care the infighting. I don't care all those things. I am coming to talk to you about the good news concerning what God has done through the Christ. Why? For in that good news, the righteous nature of God is revealed, and it gives birth to faith. And then when you step into this faith, faith now begins to expand and explode onto higher degrees of faith. For the one who has been made righteous shall only live by faith, by what he hears God saying, I have made you this. I am with you to accomplish this. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You are not, your value and your significance is not determined by what you can do, but what my son has accomplished and has brought you to be a partaker of the goodness, the inheritance. And I'm about to display you to the entities, the powers. They will know the wisdom of God, that they will regret ever laying hands upon the Son of Man. For if they had known that by laying hands upon him, by allowing themselves to become weapons, agents that God would use to kill the Son. By the way, it wasn't Pharaoh, it wasn't the Jews who killed Jesus. It is God who killed the Son, because he saw us and he knew that this is the only way he could bring forth a new creature with a new nature who will carry the presence and the nature of God. He knew it. And so all the people were just vessels to accomplish that. That's why as he hung upon the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. My target is the enemy and his demons. It's not any of these people, but they have to be used to accomplish this. But I, as I hang here, Father, forgive the one who's putting the spear on my side. Why? Because by this action, I am going to change his nature. That's why Stephen, when his eyes were also opened, they are throwing the stones upon him. Father, I see the Lord. Oh, what a fellowship. Ah! Stones. Pa, 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 pa. The forehead is beginning to bleed. He's not even seeing it. Wait, is it possible? Is it possible that a stone is, look, he didn't die of like anything, but the stoning is what killed him. How can a stone that is going to hit your jugular vein, pierce through and make you die, is not able to arrest your attention and take you from what you are beholding? How is it possible?
Wow.
This is what's about to happen.
This
is what Peter saw. Is that you say you crucify me? Turn me upside down. What? The guy who couldn't stand a maid servant.
A damsel.
A damsel. Now speaks like he's superhuman. Of course, he has been made superhuman by the new birth. That's what you are. What is about to dawn on you, its reality is about to hit you. Now, let me just read this and then we close. Let me just read this to you. Pay attention. Christian maturity is growing up into the Lord, growing up into him. When we become disciples by seeking him and his kingdom above all else, day and night, in all we do, we are building our life on the rock, which cannot be shaken when storms come. Those who have been so trained will not fear the increasing shakings of our times, but see them as opportunities for the greatest hope the world has ever heard preached, the gospel of the kingdom. The Lord said that the times will be especially troubling for those who nurse babies. Listen to this. The Lord said the times will be especially troubling for those who nurse babies or keep those they are responsible for in immaturity. This is what Luke says. In Luke chapter 21, bear with me. This is my iPad is misbehaving, and then the other one is also misbehaving. Let me just show you something. In Luke chapter 21, verse 22 talks about for these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. Now, you look at Ukraine. Do you think there's a difference between those who are with child and those who are not with the child? If a bomb is coming, does it separate those who are with children from those who are not with child?
No.
Exactly. So it's not saying that, hey, be careful, don't get pregnant and give birth to your child. That's not what it's saying. Because it's as if not, if you're a man, you can run. You can outrun the bomb. You can't outrun the bomb. What he's saying is that you have kept the people that you oversee immature. You are still nursing them. They're still drinking milk. They can't even handle meat. They want you to preach what will tickle their ears. They want to hear what something. Are you with me? So he says, the Lord said the times will be especially troubling for those who nurse babies or keep those they are responsible for in immaturity. Obviously, the times will also be especially troubling for those kept in immaturity. There will be such a disappointment. However, we must keep in mind, with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as 1 day. What does that mean? This means that he can do in 1 day what we think will take 1,000 years. So you are saying that, oh Lord, then how can I recoup the years? Like your child who has started walking, who starts running because he wants to recoup the years. Now, with God, a day is like 1,000, and 1,000 is like a day. So regardless of how much time we have wasted or not matured as we should, he can help us make up for our lost time and immaturity. However, we do not have any more time to waste. We must resolve to become the disciples we have been called to be and to lead others to this highest, greatest, and most serious of all callings. There is nobody who is not called. There is no, the Bible said that God raised him from the dead and he gave gifts unto men. He gave gifts unto men. What are the gifts? Listen, if you are a body, you see your body, your nose is a gift. Your nose is a gift. Your ears is a gift to the body. Your mouth is a gift to the body. Your eyes is a gift to the body. Your sense of touch is a gift. Your ability to wee-wee. Oh, my goodness. I've seen people who can wee-wee. Eyes. What trouble they go through? Pooping, you think that, pooping, there was a, hey, you can poop. You are true or false? So as seemingly useless as your butt is, it has great. It's a gift. Somebody says everybody has a butt. So you find out that they are gifts to your body. Now the problem is that everybody has received a gift. The problem with us, the body of Christ, is that a very tiny fraction is aware of the gift. So we're all trying to become like this. Oh, this is what is nice. Oh, this is what causes people to respect you. Oh, then I want that gift. Oh, but that gift, nobody respects you that. Ah, throw it away. I want this gift. But the nose knows what it is. It is not trying to be the eye. The ear knows what it is. It is not trying to be the mouth. But that's the problem with our body, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. There are some parts that are gifts. Your intestines, your lungs. Nobody sees it, but it's a gift. If it stops functioning, well, you're dead meat.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't want to say that, look, everybody sees his mouth. Everybody sees his eyes. Everybody is commenting about his eyes, her eyes. Everybody sees how her nose is so well placed. And some people are also touching their lips to become what is acceptable. They are touching their lips. You know what I mean by touching their lips?
Yes.
Yeah. They are facing their lips. But the lungs or the intestines don't say that. We also want to come out. So that we shall be seen that we are also very, very significant and important to the body. No. Have you ever seen? If your intestines say that, I want to come out.
It
knows its place. It knows where it sits. It knows when it's time to go to work. It knows that something has dropped in. Time to move. I'm moving. I'm not stopping. He's sleeping, no problem. I'm going to work. He knows. Everybody knows. Everything knows in the body. But here is the problem with our body. So there's nobody without a gift. Problem that we don't know what this is. We don't know what it is. And even when you are shown, I'm wondering if you really even appreciate it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, you easily appreciate it. Hey, I'm preaching, you know.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, where am I? The most wonderful one. Now, we know from biblical prophecy there will be a church at the end of this age that will be the pure and spotless bride of Christ. This church will also be like a city set on a hill that has such light and unity that it shows the world what society is called to be. The church shall be the light that will teach society what it means to have relationships, what family means, what it means for a woman to sit in her office and for a man to sit in their office and for not a man to be a woman and for not a woman to be like a man and all this warpedness. The world saw the seed of this in the first century. But at the end of the age, it will see that seed grown into a mature plant with mature fruit. It will have such miraculous unity in the time of the world's greatest divisions and chaos. It will convince the world that Jesus was indeed sent by the Father. This is what Jesus said in John 17, verse 21, that the world may know, the world will look at the unity, the miraculous workings of the body of Christ. What? There's nothing like this. It doesn't exist. Not in my home. Not in my family. In my own family, which I'm supposed to be the head, I can't even maintain such orderliness and peace. How can a group of 50,000 people operate like this? It's just like angels who have gathered, who know whose time it is to raise their hand or to chip in a chorus, so that there's such a rhythm that nobody is struggling to find his place. I said, how can this be? Now, we may look at the church now and think this is far from reality. It is, and seems to be moving in the opposite direction. For men, this unity and purity is impossible, but with God, all things we know are possible. True faith does not put limits on what God can do or how fast He can do it, though He usually takes more time than we may want Him to. Yet, as we come to the end of this age, everything is speeding up. Everything is speeding up. We are about to understand what grace really is, or what it really means, and how nobody can take any glory except in what Christ has done. No man, nowhere, no entity, no group, no organization. And every leader is going to be very careful how he or she talks to the Lord's children. I'm done. Every leader is going to learn. It's the valley of decision. It's going to be shown black, white. You're not going to be confused. And you'll be told to make a choice. Just as Adam was not deceived. He knew and he made a choice. The sons and daughters who have been born again are now going to be given a choice to make a choosing. And it shall be between this and that, because you will know what this means and you will know what that means. And I pray and I believe that you've made the right choice. Put your hands together for Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. You will become a leader. I said you will become one that God, because of the deposits of the seed that he has put in you, you will find yourself as you open your mouth. You say, I don't know where that came from. You say, oh, it was sown in you 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It was sown in you. You don't know where it came from. It has been there. It's been dormant. Now it has become real to you. And when you utter it, power that brings deliverance to many. You say, You don't touch them, but the word that you speak is fire.
Amen.
This is what's about to happen. Get ready. And let Jesus Christ be the Lord. Let him have the preeminence. Let him have the first say in everything. Why don't you just lift up your hands and let's pray. Say with me, Father.
I yield to you.
I yield to you. I surrender to you.
I surrender to you.
I choose not to be my Lord and my God.
I choose not to be my Lord, my God.
I let Jesus, the risen King, be my Lord and my God.
Be my Lord, my God.
And in every situation. And in every moment. Every day.
Every morning.
I will let him take his place. As my Lord and my King.
As my Lord.
I die.
I am dead.
That Christ may live in me. And through me. As long as I live in this body. So help me, God. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Please take your communion quickly. Take your communion. And you're going to attest that you are a significant member of his body. And that he's going to reveal to you the gift. And you will fall in place. You will fall in place according to his revelation. Not according to what makes sense. Not according to what men will honor. But according to what the mouth of the Lord speaks. You will find your place. You will find your significance. You will find your gift. As you partake of the body, as you partake of the blood, you come into agreement with what God has done through the Son of Man, that by his obedience, by the sacrifice of his death, and now by the resurrection, there's a new man on the scene, the risen King, and now he's your life. Now you speak by means of him. You think by means of him. You reason by means of him. That's so that which you don't see, you hear it. For it is written, and you give yourself to it. It doesn't make sense. But you know, he who speaks, that is not a man that he will lie. Therefore, what he has said and what he has written, the Holy Spirit bears witness that it is true. It is true in your life. You are it. And now you allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to manifestation. As you eat this body, as you drink this blood, you affirm the communion. You affirm the fellowship that you have with the risen King, with his obedience, with what he has done. And the blood of Jesus Christ speaks for you. There is no power. There is no entity that has right and dominion over you. No, every voice be silenced. That Christ alone be God. Let him alone be true. Let your mind cease from its resistance. Let your mind be purged from the lies, from the abundance of lies. And let truth now take its place. Let the Holy Spirit enforce the great work of Jesus Christ, the good news concerning what Christ has done, how he has made you righteous, how the Holy Spirit convicts you of your righteousness because of the Christ, and how now you are being convicted to let go of anything that is of the devil. For the curse is upon him alone, upon his cohorts. Touch not, come out from him, so that you will not perish the perishings that belong to the devils. But you, the redeemed of the Lord, you will choose the life of victory, of triumph, of redemption, of salvation, that your mouth will speak the truth, the life, the way, Jesus Christ himself. Lift up the body with me and say with me, the body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Please eat the body. Lift up the cup with me and say with me, the blood of Jesus Christ.
The blood of Jesus
Christ. Please drink the blood. Wow. Well, we are blessed. You are blessed. Your life. The Holy Spirit will remind you of what you heard today. I'm telling you. He will remind you because you are a treasure. We're a treasure. My assignment was just to come. It says, if you will extract